You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are your thoughts on the plan? Do you agree with it, or you know, does it go far enough, or does it go too far?
So obviously at Child Poverty Action Group, we're most interested in what's happening, and we know most about what's happening for children and their whānau and families. And so from that point of view, this plan would be a really good step in the right direction. It would be a step change in the type of resourcing we've got in our income support system at the moment. And quite frankly, this is overdue. We need this type of boost to our lowest incomes for tamariki and children. And this plan would be a really good step in that direction. The Greens have obviously thought hard about this in terms of for families and children, and they've grappled with some serious issues. It's a very complex system, and it's hard to get right, and the Greens have thought very hard about this, and that shows in the results they've produced. So we think that this sets a high bar in terms of political parties grappling with these issues, and we very much look forward to seeing what other parties come up with in this area as well.
So obviously Child Poverty Action Group has been doing some modelling to see just how this change would impact families in poverty. So do you think you could give me a quick outline of that modelling?
Yeah, sure. So because our income support system is so complex, what you actually are entitled to receive actually depends on what your housing costs are, whether that's renting or mortgage, as well as multiple other factors as well. So we kind of plug them in, and we've got, you know, for example, what would it mean for a sole parent with two kids renting a two-bedroom house in Auckland? What would it mean for a couple both on JobSeeker with one kid renting a three-bedroom house or renting, actually no, it would be renting a two-bedroom house in Auckland or Invercargill or rural areas. And then what we do is we see how much more money each of these types of families would have every week. And then we also compare that to our poverty lines, so what the government would expect people to have, and they've got targets for those. So these are key official government policy lines. So currently, the income support that people are entitled to now are well below the government's own key poverty targets and poverty lines. And what the Greens package would do would boost families to just over that poverty line. So we think that's very appropriate and would be really, really, a really good step in the right direction. What that means in terms of dollars is actually quite significant, and this is because we have underfunded our income support for so long. We've basically robbed our poorest for ourselves in terms of, you know, people who are earning a reasonable wage. So for sole parent families, it would put about $100 in their budget every week, with a little bit more depending on how many children they've got. And for couples who really have been living just so below poverty lines, it's incredible. It's actually not livable. They've had to have quite a lot of what's called temporary top-ups that are usually considered last resort, but in actual fact are just embedded as a usual go-to at the moment for MSD. We think the government's been relying on it too much. So for couples, their incomes will actually boost by about $250 a week. And that's the amount that they are missing out on now if they're having to rely on their core benefits and core entitlements.
Something that stood out to me on the graph is that families with two parents and one child went from being the second lowest earners to the highest. I'm just wondering, could you explain why that is?
Yeah, sure. So I'm just picking up the graph now. At the moment, we're expecting a couple to live on such a low income entitlements that they have, even after housing costs, so we expect, you know, we may expect a couple to share a bedroom, for example, if they're in a flatting situation, whereas two individuals will obviously have separate rooms. So you're like, sweet, it kind of makes sense maybe for a couple to have a less entitlement. However, that entitlement for a couple is so low that they are left with far, far less after they've paid their housing costs currently than two individual flatmates, even though nobody's getting enough. Nobody's getting anywhere near enough income, but couples are bearing the brunt in terms of their core entitlement. And as I say, most of the time that will mean that they will be getting very stingy top-ups from the government that won't cover the gap, but, you know, that they need those. So what this package does is basically do benefit individualisation, which means that your core benefit entitlement doesn't depend on whether you're in a relationship, whether you've just hooked up with somebody, whether you've been married for years, whether you're single. That money is yours, and you know you can rely on that if you need it. So we would support in terms of, because it's so complex, this also has implications for things like the accommodation supplement. So as I said, our modelling seems to suggest that what the Greens have done for families with children is absolutely appropriate.
So earlier this week we spoke to James Shaw, and he talked about poverty is almost this self-perpetuating cycle, and particularly this narrative that those in poverty can escape by simply working harder. And I wanted to ask what you thought about that narrative.
Yeah, so look, it's hard work not having enough money, and it's expensive. So what I mean by that is there have been studies done that show that the number of appointments you have to go to, the amount of running around that the system expects you, the system expects you to be available like that. And so you have to go to a number of appointments, etc., and they don't take into account that actually it might take you a long time to get across town because you don't have a car, and you might have to walk that extra bit because you don't have enough bus fare, or you have to pick your kids up, and so you can't wait around in the waiting room forever. It's not that people are working hard; it's just that it's unpaid. And by what I mean by it's expensive to be poor. A really good example would be, mostly our electricity bills have you can have a discount if you pay on time. Well, that's all very well and good if I've got money in the bank to pay on time. But if for whatever reason, I don't have enough money, then that penalty gets moved over to the next month. And so therefore, it's more expensive for me to get the same amount of electricity as my friends who may have more money.
That's a really, really well-made point. Thank you. So do you think this plan is ideal? Or do you think there would be still be more work to do, even if it were implemented, in terms of lifting people out of poverty?
Yes, and this is partially because we can't, having adequate incomes is a huge and a very important plank in lifting people out of poverty, but it's a necessary step, but it's not sufficient. In terms of why do we need money? We need money because services aren't free. So are those services available? Is there adequate, appropriate, safe, warm housing, for example? Doesn't matter how much money we give to people, if that housing is not available, then people are still going to be in material hardship. And so housing would be the next plank that we need to look at extremely seriously, and make sure that our whānau have housing to access, really. So it's a really interesting balance. So, for example, if we look at health, obviously dentistry is currently extremely exorbitantly expensive. Now, people wouldn't need to save so much or go without if dentistry was free. So there are other things that we can make freely available because they are a public good and they help everybody, and we want to give everybody their rights. There's a supply and demand kind of thing. Like, yes, let's give people money so that they can make those decisions themselves, but also let's make sure that things that we think are really important, like water, like education, like health, are truly free for people.
Lastly, I just wanted to touch on some of the concerns from a number of other parties that this plan would cost too much, mm-hmm. or result in dramatic increases in taxes. Is that something that you're willing to comment on?
I can't comment on the technicalities, but I will say that nobody in this country wants to keep children in poverty. Poverty is not a natural thing. It is something that we have created as a society. And we think our key priority must be lifting children out of poverty and not making them stay in poverty more. And we can discuss the details on how we do that. But that should be our number one priority, not quibbling over, you know, what's an appropriate threshold for a particular tax rate.
I'll let you go there unless there's anything else that you want to add.
Another positive that this package would do is remove a discriminatory part of the our current family tax credits. So at the moment, if you are working, you get more money from the government for your children. So there's actually a work incentive tax credit that is actually tied to the fact that you have children. So if you lose your job in usual circumstances, then you also lose some government support for your children. We think this is outrageous. It's meant that it's taken away family support necessary for children from our poorest children, and the Greens package would also get rid of that that little quirk, which has been so damaging up until now.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.